Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to the words of our first lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'll just read the first half of verse 9 again. But guard yourselves and guard your whole being diligently, so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen, and so that those things do not disappear from your hearts all the rest of the days of your life. This is the word of our God. So we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, it only makes sense that on a Labor Day weekend we would talk about labor. We would talk about work. And particularly the work that we do in relation to God. Good works. We're actually not doing that because it's Labor Day weekend. We're actually doing that because that's what the scripture before us presents to us. It talks about our obedience to God. It talks all about obedience and works. Look at the verbs that are used in this entire text. 11 times there's an imperative, a command from God directly related to the commandments that God has given to us. He says, listen, carry them out. Do not add to, do not subtract. Keep them and put them into practice. Guard yourselves and guard your whole being diligently. Do not forget and make them known. Those are all the commands that God gives to us in relation to the commands that He has given to us in this text for today. It's all about works. But we can't have a proper understanding of works unless we understand the heart of them, why we do them, and where they come from. Otherwise, we become Pharisees like Jesus condemned in the gospel lesson, or like those Old Testament Israelites that Paul condemned in his epistle lesson for today. We don't do works to be right with God. And we can't do works if our heart is not right with God. So today, on this Labor Day weekend, let's talk about labor. Let's talk about works and see how God wants them from us. But we understand that they are a labor of love, coming from a heart that knows God's love and flowing from the heart motivated by that love. Israel was on the edge of the promised land. You have to see that context and understand it in order to be able to understand the commands that God gives to His people, especially here in the entire book of Deuteronomy. God had given them promises, and now He had kept those promises. He led them out of slavery. He took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness, and He brought them to this land that He promised to give them flowing with milk and honey. Now, He reminds them of all the things that He had taught them. And God reminds them within that context of how He had blessed them, how He had given them life, how He had saved them. That's the context of His renewal of these commands, His will for them, that He had spoken to them first at Mount Sinai 40 years before through Moses. He now repeats these commands to show them what they must do in their lives, how they must work in service in their entire lives to Him. He wanted them to do their works that are pleasing to God. Works are important. They must be done. God commands that they be done. We have to do them. We're foolish when we pretend as children of the gospel, as heirs of the promise, as recipients of God's grace and eternal life. We're foolish if we think that God's commands are optional. We are ignorant if we behave like God's grace removes any obligation that I have to give to God in my work to Him. God's law is good and wise, and God expects it to be fulfilled by us. But these works are done not so that God will love and save us. No, these works are done because God does love us and has already saved us. That was God's message to Israel. The works we do are labors of love, coming from a heart that knows God's love. He says, keep them and put them into practice, because in this way your wisdom and your understanding will be recognized by all the people who hear about all these statutes. And they will say, this great nation is certainly a wise and understanding people. You see what comes first? Before there's any obedience, there's also wisdom and understanding on the part of the people. The people know who God is. They are wise to understand who that God is who has worked to save them. Do you know what you know? Do you realize the wisdom that has been given to you? And the world can see it. You know a God who loves. You know a God who gives instead of a God who demands. You know a God who sacrifices himself for you instead of a God who demands a sacrifice from you to appease him. God loves you. And you know that love of God. You have it in your heart. Do you see how that makes you wise and understanding? So that the world can even look at you and say, what a people this is. The people of this God. What a neat way that God expresses that truth in this text. Verse 7 says, because what other great nation is there that has a God as close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call on him? Did you ever think about that privilege that you have, which is reflective of the God that you have in prayer? That you can call upon the name of the Lord? You can talk to him in prayer anytime. And realize what a privilege that is. That is only for you. Only a believer is heard by God. No unbeliever is ever heard by God. But you are. You are heard by God. Because you know God's love. He always hears you whenever you pray to him. It reminds me of that account in Elijah's history on Mount Carmel, where those other gods, the other prophets who were praying to Baal, he mocked them because their gods were fashioned out of wood and stone. They were made by human hands. They couldn't hear. And he mocked them for it. He said, pray louder. Maybe he's sleeping or going to the bathroom. But no matter what, there was no God there to hear them, to answer. But look at us. We talk to God and he hears. Even when he may not answer in ways that we want, we know he hears. What is it that you prayed to God? The very first thing that you prayed to God when you came here. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's our constant prayer before God. And look how near God is to you to hear that prayer as often as you pray it. That's what it means to pray continually, to regularly know that we are unworthy sinners before God, but that he in mercy has forgiven all of our sins for Jesus' sake, to see how near that God is to you because of that. Look how near that forgiveness is to us in every moment of our day. What other great nation is there that has a God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call on him? That's our God. And we know him and his love. And so we are able to perform labors of love. But that's also why we perform these labors of love. We don't do good works because we have to. We do good works because we want to. No other religion is like that. And even many Christians so often misunderstand that. We work to say thanks to God who has saved us. We follow God's commands because we know that he has rescued us from our sins. You know these things. You understand them, and because of that, you are wise. You are living and breathing this understanding. And so you carry out the works of God, the will of God in your life, because you're motivated by the wonderful gospel, God's amazing work to save you from your sins. That Jesus loved you perfectly and fulfilled all righteousness for you in your place. And Jesus died to take away all of your unrighteousnesses and all of your failures to keep God's law the way that He demands. God loves you. And you're hanging on to that love. You're motivated by that love as you carry out these labors of love that you do, the works of God. Verse 9 says, guard yourselves and guard your whole being diligently so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen and so that those things do not disappear from your heart all the rest of the days of your life. This verse 9 is really the source of the theme for today. When we approach the law and when we live it in our lives, it's work, it's labor. And we do that, we devote our whole lives, our whole selves, heart and soul, to such work. Look at the emphasis that Moses writes and speaks here as he repeats that verb, guard yourself. Guard your whole being diligently. It's significant effort. That's why he repeats that verb for emphasis. Labor, work. And the motive for all of that work and labor and effort is love. The love that Christ has for us makes us diligent in our work, in our whole lives, all of our being, to work hard to do His will. How sad it was for those Pharisees that Jesus encountered. Not only were they not doing their works according to God's will, but they were doing them for the wrong reasons. How could they even do a work that God desired? Their hearts were empty. They didn't know God. They didn't know Jesus Christ. So everything they did, as hard as they worked, and they did work diligently and hard, it was all wrong. They were very zealous to do the works of the Lord, but they worked for all the wrong reasons and they were doing all the wrong things. That's why Paul spoke about that attitude too, about Israel. Israel, while pursuing the law as a way of righteousness, did not reach it. Why? Because they kept pursuing it not by faith, but as it comes by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. They got tripped up by Jesus. They stumbled at faith. They thought works were the start of salvation. No. Jesus is the beginning, the middle, and the end of salvation. And works are a response of thanksgiving to that salvation. Friends, how easy is it for us to get tripped up by that way too? If I do the right thing, God will be happy with me. Or as long as God sees that I'm trying and working really hard, that will be good enough. No, not at all. That's foolish. There is no good enough. There's only perfect or fail. And when we try to please God with our works, to earn His favor by what we do, we will always end not in the perfect side, but in the failure side. God will never be pleased with good enough because we're not perfect. We're sinners. No matter how zealous we are, no matter how hard we try, we fall short. But this is wisdom. This is the understanding that God has given to you. You know God another way. You pursue that law, and you do it diligently by faith. Because you know that stone that causes people to stumble, but you don't get tripped up by Him at all because you know how near He is to you. You know that God, who is so close to you that He became one with you, who is so close to you because He became your brother, who lived for you, who walked that path of righteousness for you, so near to God is to you that He stepped in line for you and took your place under the wrath of God to die the punishment that you deserved for your sin. That's how close God is to you. And you know, you are wise, you understand that. And that God drives you then to fervently work. And you don't get days off of that labor of love. You always live and live your whole being to serve. You work that labor of love. Obedience to God comes from deep within a heart of faith. So you listen and you carry out those works. You're in tune with God's commands, not man-made rules. You know God's law, and you know how to apply that law to your life. And that's not adding to or subtracting from God's will. That's knowing God deeply, knowing His desire for your life and how to carry that out as He's laid it out for you in His will, in His law. So all the things that you do in your life, you do it diligently and fervently. Even if it's simple tasks like going to work and working faithfully, and then coming home from work to your family, you think, well, those are commands of God? Yes, that's God's will for your life. Or cleaning the toilets, or cleaning the house, or taking care of the kids, that's work that God desires for you. That's God's will for your life, and you do it diligently. That's not adding or subtracting to God's will. But that's being in tune with God's will for your life, knowing His law, and being driven by His love, by His gospel. So that all the things that you do are good works, wise and understanding applications of God's law to your life. You understand what God's law means for you and how it directs you from day to day, from decision to decision. So, you carry out your labor of love. It's not a once in a while thing for you. You practice those works daily. Follow God's law diligently. And when you do, the world sees and they're amazed. What a great attitude for us to have on this Labor Day weekend and every day to carry out our labors of love for God, which knows God's love and which is motivated by that love of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.